And welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of Say Cheese and Die Again by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. This was going to be the first episode that I recorded while broadcasting on Periscope. So I was like, hell yeah, and I started broadcasting on said Periscope, and then I was like, fuck this. Like, the phone was facing me, and I could see it, and then I'd see little messages pop up, and I'm like, oh god, I need to read these and talk to them, and it's very uncomfortable, and I can't do that. Maybe I could if it was just to give yourself goosebumps, or if I was drunker. I've only had two cocktails and started on a Tecate, but it just was wildly uncomfortable, even though there's only, like, six people watching. Anyway, the cover of Say Cheese and Die Again has a whole skeleton family, including a skeleton dog, like a little Franklin, and one kid kind of has hair like me, and the mom's serving looks like a turkey, even though the kid's already feeding the dog apparently meat under the table, but there is no meat, the turkey's just bones. I don't know. One of the kids has the Grateful Dead shirt on, that's pretty tight. And, yeah, so there goes Periscope and Dune. What do I have to say? I don't know. I've had a good weekend so far. It's Sunday, I'm recording, had a couple cocktails, and now I'm drinking a Tecate, which I just realized recently. I'm like, I saw some post of like, how do you guys drink Mexican beer? Where do you think the water comes from? I was like, fuck, they're right. Where does the water come from? I drink a lot of Mexican beer. But then I go to Mexico and I wouldn't fucking touch the water. So, I don't know. Who knows? Chapter number one. Greg Banks! A shiver ran down the back of my neck as Mr. Sauer called my name. I had been slumping low in my seat in the last row of the classroom. I tried to hide behind Brian Webb, the big gorilla of a kid who sits in front of me. I'm hoping right now that isn't an African-American comment, okay? I'm hoping he's just giant and possibly hairy. But if it is, R.L. Stine, shame on you. And I folded my hands and prayed that Mr. Sauer wouldn't call on me to give my report next. That's what praying gets you, am I right? Right? Yeah, all right. Greg Banks, he called. I felt another cold shiver. Then my legs started to shake. Those are both clear signs of opiate withdrawal. We need to look into this kid. As I climbed to my feet, then my throat tightened until I could barely breathe. I hate giving reports in front of the whole class, especially when I haven't had time to practice, especially when we're not allowed to have notes, and quadruple especially when half of our grade in English depends on how well we do on this report. I cleared my throat and made my way to the front of the classroom. That was a clearing and walking. I was halfway there when Donnie Green stuck his big white sneaker into the aisle and tripped me. I stumbled, but I didn't fall like a strong African-American woman. The whole class exploded with laughter anyway. Mr. Sauer frowned at Donnie. Donnie, do you have to trip everyone who walks by you? He demanded. I think that would be like assault nowadays. People are very uptight. I haven't, like, tripped anyone in years. I've tripped balls, though. Damn! Yes, Donnie replied with a straight face. And once again, the whole class burst out with laughter. Everyone thinks Donnie is a riot. Everyone but Mr. Sauer. Mr. Sauer doesn't think anyone is funny. It's probably why his name is Mr. Sauer, you know? It's not Mr. Sweet and Jovial, you know? It's not Professor Loquacious. Anyway, that's why we call him Sourball Sour. Okay, that makes sense. He probably wouldn't think that was funny either. Mr. Sauer is tall and thin and nearly bald. He never kids around. He never smiles. His mouth is always puckered like a butthole, as if he's just bitten into a lemon. Sourball Sour. He's sort of a legend at Pitt's Landing Middle School. Pitt's Landing was the school from the original one, right? Because that sounds familiar to me. Everyone tries not to get him. My best friends, Michael, Bird, and Sherry, were lucky. Okay. Goddamn, I recorded the original Say Cheese and Die like 5 years ago. I've been doing this fucking podcast forever. Maybe more than that even. Jesus Christ. Anyway, Bird, I remember because it was like, it's Bird. He looks like a bird. That's why we call him Bird. Still weird that I remember that, as I had to go through my entire list of episodes and control F and see if I had read them before. I guess I had read How to Kill a Monster. No idea, no recollection. There in Miss Folsom's class, I was the only one who got stuck with Sourball. I stepped up beside his desk and cleared my throat again. I wondered if everyone could see my knees shaking. My face felt burning hot. My hands were cold as ice. In fact, they were the inspiration for the Foreigner song. Does everyone get this nervous when they stand in front of class? Mr. Sour folded his pale, skinny hands on his desk and cracked his knuckles. "Okay, Greg, let's hear your true story," he said. I cleared my throat for the thousandth time. I took a deep breath. Then I started to tell the story of what happened to my friends and me last summer. I think this is going to be a recap of the last book, and then we'll see where it goes. Essentially, if I remember correctly, they stole a camera from a hobo, and when you take a picture of it, something horrible is going to happen, and it predicts what's going to happen. But we'll see if he says it the same way as me, because I think R.L. Stine probably remembers his shit better than I do, because alcoholism. I was hanging out with my friends, Bird, Michael, and Sherry. We had nothing to do, and we were kind of bored. So we dared each other to do something exciting. Butt stuff. We dared each other to sneak into the Kaufman house. Mr. Sour raised a hand to interrupt me. He frowned his sour face. What's the Kaufman house? It's a haunted house, Donnie Green called out. So Donnie, why is he calling out all the time? It's where Donnie lives, Brian Webb mumbled, loud enough for everyone to hear. It got a big laugh. Mr. Sour raised both hands for a quiet and gave everyone his lemon expression. It's a deserted, old house in my neighborhood, I told him. We went inside, down to the basement, and we found an old camera. And that's what my true story is about, because the camera had evil powers. Mr. Sour groaned and rolled his eyes. Some kids laughed. Sorry, I was stepping on the preamp. But I took another deep breath and continued my story. It was an instant camera. The picture popped right out, but it was never the picture we snapped. It always showed something terrible happening. Wow, should have had that camera on 9/10/2001, am I right? I took the old camera home. I snapped a photo of my dad's new station wagon. The photo slid out. In the photo, the station wagon was totaled, completely wrecked. And then, a few days later, my dad was in a terrible accident. The photo came true. I glanced around the room to see how my story was going over. A few kids were laughing. Others were staring at me, trying to decide if I was for real. Brian Webb tried to make me lose it. He stuck his two pointer fingers into his nostrils and twirled them around. He thinks he's funny, but he's just gross. I took a snapshot of my friend, Bird Arthur, I continued. At his Little League game, Bird smiled and posed for the camera, but the photo showed him lying unconscious on the ground like a sorority girl. Then, a few minutes later, a kid hit a line drive. It smacked Bird in the head, and Bird fell unconscious on the ground, just like the photo. I heard some nervous giggles from the back of the room. I glanced up to see the puzzled expressions on a lot of faces. Brian still had his fingers in his nose. I turned away. No way was I going to laugh at that. Mr. Sour had his elbows on the desk and his round, bald head buried in his hands. His face was hidden, so I couldn't tell if he liked my report or not. Then, something even more scary happened, I continued. I brought the camera to Sherry Walker's birthday party. I snapped Sherry's picture standing next to a tree. When the photo popped out, really? Hey, cat! Go, cats! Sorry, she was like kneading a plastic bag. It was very loud and annoying. Anyway, a couple days later, Sherry... Oh, wait, sorry. Took a picture of Sherry in a tree. It was like she was invisible or something. And then a few minutes later, Sherry disappeared. A few kids gasped. Some others laughed. Mr. Sour still had his face buried in his hands. A couple of days later, Sherry came back, I told them. But now, we were way too frightened to keep the camera. So, we took it back to the Kaufman motherfucking house. And we met this strange guy, dressed all in black like Dune is now. He was the inventor of the camera. He told us that the camera had a curse on it, and, to my surprise, Mr. Sour jumped to his feet. "That will be enough," he snapped. "Excuse me?" I wasn't sure I heard him correctly. The room went silent. Mr. Sour shook his head. Then he narrowed his watery brown eyes at me. "Greg," he said, "I have some very bad news for you." Maybe Greg's pregnant. Let's read on. "I need to buy a webcam so you motherfuckers can see me record chapter 2. The lunch bell rang. Ding-a-ling-a-ling, ding-a-ling-a-ling. That's the lunch bell. Well, we'll hear more reports tomorrow," Mr. Sour announced. "Class dismissed." Chairs scraped the floors as everyone stood up. I watched the other kids gather up their books and backpacks and head for the door. Freedom! I had an urge to run after them, but Mr. Sour kept his eyes locked on me, holding me in place with those cold eyes. I waited until the classroom had emptied out. Then I turned to the lemon-faced motherfucking teacher. "What's the bad news?" I gritted my teeth. "I'm giving you an F," Sourball said. "Huh? I'm failing you in that report, Greg." I fell to my knees. I had to grab the chalk tray to keep myself from collapsing. In a quivering heap on the floor. There was no comma there. That was a very odd pause that I added. But why?" I choked out. He crossed his bony arms over the front of his yellow alligator shirt. "It's called lacrosse, bruh." No, it isn't. It's called lacoste. Fuck, stupid beer in mouth. That's what I'm going to blame it on. I wish the alligator would reach up and bite him. "You didn't do the assignment," he said. But. I still gripped the chalk tray. My legs were shaking too hard to stand up. "Greg, you were supposed to share a true story," Mr. Sour scolded. "Instead, you came in here with that wild tale. It was completely silly. I don't know what you were thinking, but it's true," I wailed like 2 Chainz. "The camera," he waved a hand in my face. "Silly," he repeated. "You came in here with a wild, silly story. Something you probably read in a comic book." "Mr. Sour," I started like a little bitch. I let go of the chalk tray and balled my hands into tight fists. "You have to believe me. The camera is real. I didn't make up the story." I took a deep breath. Then I struggled to keep my voice low and calm. "You can ask my friends," I told him, forgetting to use the word axe. "They're in Miss Folsom's class. They'll tell you it really happened." "I'm sure they will," he smirked at me. "I'm sure your friends will tell whatever you tell them to tell me to tell heart." "No, really," I protested. Mr. Sour shook his head. "You didn't take the assignment seriously, Greg. You treated it like a big joke. So I have to give you an F. When I was in a college for that very brief stint, there was a music class, and it was like one of those giant auditorium classes, and I had like the number one grade in it, and it was like music appreciation. And then we had to put in like one essay at the end of the year, and it was all assigned to us, and mine was on flamenco or whatever group. I don't know how it works. I don't remember. Point is, I called it like flamenco, not just a pink bird. And then my grade dropped to like a B, and I was like, god damn it. Not taking things seriously fucks me over. And I know B doesn't matter, and I didn't care about college, and obviously I quit. In other classes, I had Bs or less, but I was number one in the class and made a goddamn stupid joke in the top of or the title of an essay. Anyway, that goes to show you that school's stupid and you guys should drop out and get high. I raised my fists and let out a loud groan. "Greg, get control," I warned myself. "Get control." But how could I get control? The grade was so unfair, and it meant so much to me. It was a matter of life or death. No, it wasn't. No one cares about your goddamn elementary school or junior high grades, or high school, or college. No one cares about anyone. God damn it. Mr. Sauer, you can't give me an F, I wailed. I felt like dropping to my knees and begging for mercy. You will ruin my life. He stared coldly at me and didn't say a fucking word. If I don't get better grades, I can't visit my cousins this summer, I explained. You see, my cousins live near Yosemite in California. What a cool state. Dune lives there. And my parents said that if I get a better grade in your English class, I can spend the summer with them. He didn't move. His cold frown didn't budge. His eyes didn't blink like some kind of snake. Wait, I think snakes do blink. What doesn't blink? Fucking, apparently, Tom DeLonge, because he quit Blink-182 when they're supposed to get back together, right? Topical. If you give me an F, I'll be stuck all summer in Pitt's Landing, I cried. Finally, Mr. Sauer moved. An unpleasant smile spread over his face. His wet brown eyes flashed. Then, you'll have plenty of time to make up more crazy stories. Ah, he said like a fucking asshole. He turned away from me and started scribbling notes in his black grade book. Mr. Sauer, please, I begged. You've got to believe me. My story is true. I didn't make it up. Please. He raised his eyes from the grade book. Okay, prove it. My mouth dropped open. Huh? Bring in the camera, he said. Bring it in and prove that it's evil. Prove that your story is true, or else I have to fail you. Damn, that fool's got to bring in a camera, or else he can't visit Dune and fucking drink tall cans all day and, you know, whatever else I do. I stared at him, studying his face. Was he for real? He stared back for a moment, daring me with his eyes. Then he shooed me away with both hands. Go to lunch, Greg. Maybe next time you'll take my assignment seriously. I gathered up my bakupaku and slung it over my shoulder. Just one shoulder, all right. Then I slumped out of the room, thinking hard. Could I go back to that creepy old house and dig out that camera? No. No way. The end. Just kidding. The camera was too dangerous, too frightening, too evil. But I needed a good grade. I needed it desperately. What should I do? If you want him to go and find the camera, go to chapter 3. If you want him to just kind of be a bitch and hang around Pitt's shit pile whatever all summer, you're gonna go to chapter 3 too. This isn't a give yourself goosebumps, jabronis. Dune. Chapter number 3. I found my friends at our usual table in the corner of the lunchroom. I dropped my tray down with a sigh and spilled half my drink. God damn it. Greg, what's your problem? Bird looked up from his sandwich. He had egg salad all over his chin and cheeks. Egg salad? More like snake than bird. Don't snakes eat bird eggs? I don't know anything about the animal kingdom, I'm sorry. Are you eating that sandwich? Or wearing it? Sherry axed him. Typical girl, all she cares about is fashion. Kendall Jenner wouldn't wear that. Excuse me? Bird didn't understand. Michael inflated his brown sandwich bag and popped it between his hands. Then he crushed his chocolate milk flat. He always gulps his milk down fast, then crushes the carton like some sort of frat boy. It's super hot, but we're not sure why. Michael is a little weird. I dropped into my chair. I didn't start to eat. I didn't even look at my food tray. I was just staring at the wall until the tiles became a green blur. What's your problem? Bird repeated. Now he had egg salad on his forehead, too. What is it? Ash egg salad wins? Fuck. Whatever. I don't know how he does it. Bird's real name is da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's Doug Arthur. Hey, what a wonderful kind of day. By the way, speaking of Arthur, first off, I love that theme song so much. And there's a Chance the Rapper version with like a whole band and Wyclef Jean and stuff. And it's really good. You should listen to that right now instead of this. But anyway, but he looks so much like a bird. Everyone call him Bird. Even his parents. He's like Birdman, but he's never had sex with Lil Wayne or Young Thug. He has small, bird-like brown eyes, close together over a long, beak-shaped nose like a Jew. And he has a short tuft of feathery brown hair on top of his head like Dune. He's tall and thin, unlike Dune. Dune's tall, but not thin, and sort of bobs up and down like a flamingo when he walks. Michael poked a finger through his sandwich. He always makes a hole in the center of his sandwich to fuck it. Sorry, and then eats it inside out. Bad day, Greg? I'm gonna call Greg Gerg every time, and I'm not sure why. Maybe I'll do it. For sure, I muttered. I sighed again. Sherry wore a pale blue t-shirt over faded jeans. She tossed her back her black hair. She was busy pulling the bright red pepperoni off her pizza slice because no one in the could come up with a better topping. What about sausage? Sausage is better. Sounds greasy and it's more delicious. Come on, Gerg. Spill, she urged without looking up. I took a deep breath. Then I told them about what had happened to me in English class. Bird dropped his sandwich onto the table. Sourball didn't believe you, he cried. He slapped his forehead. When he pulled his hand away, his fingers were smeared with egg salad. Well, we could go... Alright, taking a deep breath doesn't work. It just makes me want to spill everything out at once. Well, we could all go and tell him it was true, Sherry suggested. I shook my head. He won't believe you either, I moaned. But we all saw it, Michael protested. We all know it's true. Yeah, it's 4-1, Bird added. He was wiping egg salad off the front of his shirt. He'll have to believe us. He won't, I sighed. You know Sourball. He said I have to bring in the camera and prove to him that it's evil. But you can't, Michael and Sherry said together. I glanced over their shoulders. Brian and Donnie were grinning at me from the next table. Brian and Donnie are the two biggest guys at Pitts Landing Middle School. We call them Sumo 1 and Sumo 2. Not even Yokozuna? Not gonna get specific? What the hell's up with that? That's a terrible name. I'd call them Fatty Fat Shit 1 and Fatty Fat Shit 2. Because they're both shaped like little sumo wrestlers. Morbius. That's out of a Duff koozie. I was supposed to get tattooed today, but I didn't. But I think I'm going to get on my toes a toe tattoo. And I don't know what to get in the other foot. I think it would just be different Simpsons characters. But big toe Homer, next toe Marge, next toe Bart, next toe Lisa, next toe Maggie. And get all five of the Simpson families on my toes. I think that's a good plan, that's all. I'm just saying. Of course, no one ever called them Sumo 1 or Sumo 2 to their faces. When Donnie and Brian get angry, they sit on kids and squash them like bugs. Don't kids at school just make fun of skinny kids now? Remember schools used to have like two fat kids and now everyone's a fat kid? How do I make sure that when I have kids they're not fat as shit? Do I just have to, like, walk with them places? I don't want to do that. They can just be fat. And now, they had followed me from Mr. Sour's class and were grinning at me from the next table. When they saw me watching, they formed little square cameras with their fingers and raised them in front of their eyes like Asian tourists. Click, click, Brian called, possibly imitating Chief Keef's bang bang. I've got an evil camera here. Say cheese, Donnie shouted. You guys ready for this one? Say cheese and die. Like the book, that was the title. That's actually the title of this one, but they added again on it. But that's pretty funny, you know? It's like they're quoting the R.L. Stine books. That's all. Click, click, click. They clicked their air cameras. I thought they were just speaking African, am I right? Because Africa's just one nation and one language. Watch the birdie, Donnie cried. Watch the bird brain, Brian yelled. They both tossed their heads back and laughed like lunatics, slapping each other high fives and occasionally kissing. Funny, guys, I said, rolling my eyes. Real funny. You two should do stand-up, Michael told them. You should stand up in the corner. What does that mean? Like they're on timeout? Why wouldn't you tell them to like stand up in traffic? You know? Or stand up in water that's, you know, just higher than their heads with cement boots? Do people still cement shoe? Did they ever? Oh, whatever. No one laughed. No one ever laughs at Michael's jokes. His jokes are never funny. In fact, they're mostly embarrassing. like dunes. Michael has short red hair, blue eyes, and a face full of freckles. Ugh. He isn't exactly fat, but no one would call him skinny. Oh, that guy's never getting laid. One of these days, he's going to surprise us and make a joke that isn't totally lame. But I was in no mood for jokes, anyway. My summer was about to be ruined. My three friends all had plans to go away. No way I wanted to be left alone in Pitt's Landing with nothing to do for 3 fucking months. If I had to bring in the camera to prove to Mr. Sauer that I was telling the truth, I'd do it. That's probably what the plot's going to be about. Sherry must have read my thoughts. She reached across the table and grabbed my arm. "Greg, you can't," she said like a total Hermione. "That camera's too dangerous." Bert agreed. "I'm not going back to that weird house," he said, shaking his head. "Never again." "Hey, what about your brother?" Michael asked me. I turned to him confused. "What about my brother?" "Isn't he working in a camera store?" Michael demanded. I nodded. My older brother, Terry, was working at Kramer's Photo Store after school. It seems exciting because Kramer's a guy that hates African-Americans. I don't know. That's it. Yeah, he's at Kramer's. He works in the developing lab. So what? Developing lab is what I call junior high school. Ew. Maybe Terry could borrow an old camera from the store, Michael suggested. You can bring it in and tell Mr. Sauer it's the evil camera. Just one problem, I told Michael. I have to prove the camera is evil. How do I do that? Hey, maybe you could have that camera deny climate change. Am I right? That's some political humor. Am I right? Michael thought about it. And thought. It won't work, I sighed. We have to go get the real camera. I glanced around the table. Who will go with me? But no one answered. Bird concentrated on getting the egg salad from under his fingernails. That is disgusting. Sherry twisted a lock of black hair around one finger. Michael stared at the floor. Don't all volunteer at once, I grumbled, as I had heard people say over and over, so I just repeated it because that's what I think humor is. They still didn't move. I just need the camera for one day, I added. Then we'll return it and never take it out again. No one replied. Bird raised his beady little eyes to the ceiling and started whistling to himself. Imagine I did the Bridge Over the River Kai whistling thing, but I'm not very good at whistling. My girlfriend is. I don't get it. I don't need to. I wish I could do the thing the Mexican dudes where they put like a weird two fingers in their mouth and can whistle for miles away. But then again, you know, I have technology, so I can just text someone. I sneered at them. Okay, wimps, I'll go by myself. Don't do it, Sherry warned again. Not even for a day. Something horrible will happen. I know it. If only I had listened to her. He's been doing a lot of that lately, where he's like, and shit was about to get retarded. And it's like, what? Don't tell us. Just keep going. Eh, but he's a storyteller, you know. Jack Black's playing him in a movie. Jack Black's never played me. No one's played old Drunkle Stiltskin. The fourth chapter of the book. The rest of the afternoon, I barely heard a word from anyone. I think I had a spelling quiz. I think we played volleyball in the gym. I think I got my first kiss. It was very romantic. I think someone slammed the ball into my head. Oh, wait. Sorry, I shouldn't have put the first kiss one on there, and I don't even know why I did. It wasn't funny. But, oh, so he maybe got a concussion? That sucks. Did it hurt? Did I leave the game for a while? I don't remember. I don't remember a little bit of last night, to be fair. But that's booze. Once I'd already drank a lot, I ended up drinking the scorpion shot at the bottom of the mezcal, just because it was such a weird night. And that probably led to a little bit of blacking out. In music class, Miss Jakes caught me staring out the window, a dazed look in my face, like the time in The Simpsons where Lisa was staring out the window, and then the music teacher, whose name escapes me at the moment, was all like, Lisa, do you find something funny about the word tromboner? And then she laughed, and it was good as hell. Anyway, she thought it was because of the volleyball accident. She wanted to send me to the nurse, but I sexplained that I was okay. I told her I wasn't hurt. I was only dazed. Dreaming. I didn't explain that I was thinking hard, thinking about the evil camera hidden away in the Kaufman house. thinking about how I was going to sneak out after dinner, ride my bike up the hill to the deserted old house, creep down to the basement, and pull the camera from its hiding place in the wall. I'm gonna prove the camera is evil, Sourball. I'm gonna prove you're wrong and unfair, I thought bitterly. You can't go through life trying to prove that shit's unfair. Of course shit's unfair. You just need to just keep moving on. Can't focus on the negative. I'm gonna prove it to Brian and Donnie and all the other kids who laughed at my story. I'm going to get an A for my report, not an F. I thought about all that. And I thought about Sherry, Michael, Bird, and Dune. I didn't blame my friends for being scared. I was scared too. I promised myself I'd be really careful. I'll bring it to school, but I won't take anyone's picture with it, I decided. Then, how would I prove to Mr. Sour that the camera is evil? I thought hard. I'll take a snapshot of the empty classroom, I decided, or maybe the lunchroom or the gym when no one's there. As soon as Mr. Sour changes my grade to an A, I'll return the camera, I promised myself. By the way, why don't you just do a report on something believable? Like, I went to Yosemite with my cousins. It was exciting. I saw a bear. It was scary. I'll shove it back into its hiding place, and I'll never take it out again. After school, I searched for Sherry. She lives next door, so we usually walk home together. But I didn't see that bitch anywhere. I crossed the street, kicking a bottle cap I found on the curb, thinking about my plan. Thinking about the camera. I had walked about half a block when I heard voices behind me. Greg! Hey, Greg! Two hands grabbed my shoulders and spun me around. Brian Webb. Greg, Donnie and I went to the Kaufman house, he exclaimed, grinning, holding me in place. We found the evil camera. Say cheese, Donnie cried. He pointed the camera and flashed it in my face. Oh, shit, this just got good, didn't it, people? I think so. And my opinion's the only one that matters, because no one else can talk right now, because I got the microphone.
Chapter number 5.
I uttered a horse cry. Nay! Just kidding. He meant like horses in his throat. Got him funny. And shut my eyes against the white flash. Something horrible is going to happen to me now, I realized. The picture is going to show me in pain, in agony, in terrible trouble. And then it's going to come true. When I opened my eyes, Brian and Donnie were laughing. They slapped each other a high five. I stared at the camera in Donnie's hand. A yellow cardboard camera. One of those cheap throwaway cameras. Not the evil camera. Not the old camera from the Kaufman house. Good joke, guys, I said sarcastically. I blinked several times, trying to make the yellow dots disappear. You guys are a riot. What are you, Ferguson? You're the funny one, Brian shot back. That was such a funny story you told in class. Yeah, it had us all laughing, Donnie chimed in. So Donnie. I stared angrily at them. My heart thumped loudly. Boom, boom, ch, boom, 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 ch. Sumo 1 and Sumo 2. They were so big, they nearly blocked out the sunlight. Oh, they're gonna die pretty soon then. I knew they wanted to keep on teasing me, have some more laughs at my expense, maybe get into a fight. But I didn't have time to fight with them. Maybe you won't be laughing tomorrow, I murmured. Then I turned, jogged across the street, and headed for home. Damn, first off, there's a drinking break, that's why I'm gonna talk more. And second off, he's gonna use that camera on those motherfuckers! He's gonna ruin their lives, because they fat! beer done on drinking break. Start another. At dinner, I stared down at my plate. I was too nervous to eat. My tummy felt as if it were tied into a tight little knot. I like how I'm making fun of someone for having stomach pain when I spent all morning having stomach pain and almost didn't do anything because of it. My tummy hurt from drinking scorpions. Pass the potatoes, my brother Terry said with a mouth full of chicken. It's not potatoes, it's turnips, Mom corrected. Terry shrugged. Whatever, Mom, it's the 90s. I don't care what I'm eating. I don't care about anything. He scooped a pile onto his plate and began spooning them quickly into his mouth. Slow down, Terry, Dad scolded. You're eating so fast, you don't know what you're eating. Sure I do, Terry protested. I'm eating dinner. Boom! Mom and Dad laughed. Terry looks a lot like me. Blonde hair, green eyes, kinda goofy smile. We could almost be twins, except that he's 16, 4 years older than me. Wait, the kids are usually 12, which he is, but we knew that... Was he 12 in the last book? Because it said it's been a year. Was he 11? They normally don't go that young. Why are you in such a hurry? Mom asked him. Terry burped. Excuse me. He licked chicken grease off his fingers. I have to get back to work. A lot of special orders came in today. So I promised Mr. Kramer I'd put in a few extra hours at the developing lab. You're learning a lot about photography, aren't you? Dad said, totally unaware that the entire photography industry would collapse years after this. Yeah, a lot. Oh, please, I thought. Don't talk about photography. I knew that soon after dinner I'd be sneaking out into that old, creepy, deserted house. I didn't want to think about cameras or photography. Terry's chair scraped the floor as he jumped to his feet. He tossed his greasy napkin onto the table. Gotta run. See you soon. He loped to the door. Lopped? Loped? L-O-P-E-D? He eloped with the door, and they lived happily ever after. Don't you have any homework tonight? Mom called after him. No, he shouted from the front hall. They don't give homework in high school. The front door slammed behind him. What a comedian, Dad muttered, shaking his head. They both suddenly remembered that I was at the table, too. Greg, you haven't touched your chicken, Mom said, staring at my full plate. I ate too much junk after school, I lied. I'm not too hungry. Your mom and I are going to the Alanas after dinner, Dad told me. Not the Alanas. Alana's just a singular person. It's actually his mom's sister, so it's his aunt. Alana still isn't feeling well. Do you want to come with us? Nah, I replied. I've got too much homework. I'm going to be studying all night. I don't like to lie to Mom and Dad, if I can help it, so I haven't told them that I'm gay. Oh man, doing rules! Tonight, I couldn't help it. How are your grades this semester? Mom asked. Yeah, how are they? Dad repeated, leaning closer. Pete and Alice out in Yosemite called me this afternoon. They asked if you are coming to visit them this summer. I told them we'd know as soon as your next report card arrives. I'm doing really well, I told them, staring down at my chicken and turnips. I'll be doing really well after tomorrow, I thought. My stomach knotted even tighter. Mom and Dad stood up to clear the table. Pete and Alice said to be sure to bring a camera, Dad said. It's such beautiful country out there. Maybe Terry can get you a good camera at the store, Mom suggested. Please stop talking about cameras, I thought, gritting my teeth and being all selfish. Maybe he can, I said. Ooh, drinking break again. Twice in one chapter. Fantastic. Water first. Then Tecate. I waited till Mom and Dad drove off for Alana's house. Then I waited 10 minutes more. Sometimes they forget something, turn around, and come back. I peered out the window. Under the white moonlight, the bare trees were bending and shaking. A breezy night. Still cold, though spring was only a few weeks away. I pulled a long-sleeve flannel shirt over my t-shirt, tucked a pocket flashlight into my jeans, and headed out to the garage to get my bike. The swirling wind felt heavy and wet. I glanced up the sky, hoping it wasn't getting ready to rain. A pale half-moon floated over the quivering trees. The front tire on my bike was a little low, but I guessed I could make it up to the hill to the Kaufman house. I walked the bike out of the garage, then climbed on that motherfucker. I'd left all the lights on in the house. From the driveway, it looked so bright and warm and safe. For a moment, I was tempted to go back inside and forget about the evil camera. But my mind was made up. I desperately wanted to visit my cousins this summer. No way I could do it if I got an F from Mr. Sour on my report card. Fucking Mr. Sour. God damn, I hate teachers. If you're a teacher listening, turn this shit off. Get a real job. That's what I say. I took a deep breath, clicked on the bike headlight, and pedaled down the street. It was lucky that Mom and Dad had to go away, I told myself. At least I didn't have to sneak out of the house. That's it, Gerg, I said out loud, pedaling harder, looking at the bright side. The street seemed darker than usual. Glancing up, I saw that two streetlights were out. That would explain the darkness, you know, because the lights were out. And they're the ones that provide the light, which is the opposite of darkness. The wind swept towards me. On both sides, the trees appeared to be shivering. I swerved to miss a sheet of old newspaper fluttering across the street. I shifted gears. I think he means he started smoking pot, as the street sloped uphill. I pictured the ramshackle old Kaufman house, hidden behind ancient oak trees at the top of a weed-choked lawn. I remembered that it stood three stories tall, gray shingle with a wraparound screened porch, a sloping red roof, and tall chimneys on either end. Many years ago, it must have been a really fancy house, but no one had lived in it for dozens of years, and the house had crumbled and decayed until it looked like a wreck. I crossed the street, pedaling smoothly and steadily uphill. Familiar houses rolled past in the darkness, and then a small wooded area. I felt my throat tighten and my hands grow cold. The house, the Kaufman house, stood just beyond the woods. Tree branches swayed, glowing gray, the color of boners. Just bone. Sorry, my mistake. Under the cold moonlight, I squeezed the brake as I rolled past the woods, past the sloping lawn, that's how the listeners are feeling, am I right? Past the ancient oak trees, up to the old house, and gasped in shock.
Chapter number...
Franklin, what are you doing?
Six.
Just chilling, that's tight. The house was gone. I jumped off my bike and let it fall to the sidewalk. I uttered a cry of surprise. Aye! Then I blinked several times, tried to make the big old house appear where it belonged behind the oak trees, but no.
I seriously, like, just read without thinking and just said, the house was gone, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, wait, why can't you see the house? And it turns out because I just read. I don't pay attention to what I read.
The trees rose up over the lawn, silvery gray in the moonlight. Now they protected only scattered piles of boards and shingles. The house had been torn down. Totaled. Dazed, I stood at the curb, staring up to where the house should be. Staring hard, trying to force it to come back. A minute or two later, I felt a stab of pain and slapped a mosquito on my forehead. It's too early in the spring for mosquitoes, I thought. I felt warm blood on my forehead.
Uh-oh, what's going on here?
Rubbing the bite, I turned to the gravel driveway and saw a stenciled sign near the street. Sold. So, the Kaufman's house had been sold. And the new owner tore it down. I rubbed the mosquito bite, thinking hard. The house was gone. But what about
the basement?
What about the basement workshop? I remembered it so well. I remembered the work table, and I remembered the hiding place in the wall above it.
Wait, basement, work table, and hiding place with camera? This is Fallout. I know Fallout and Fallout New Vegas, or Fallout 3. The other ones... People say they're good, but I think it's one of those hipster things where you're just like, yeah, the old ones are better, because they're not.
The small compartment where the camera lay hidden away. What about the basement? Before I even realized it, my feet were carrying me up the hill. My sneakers slid over the slick, tall grass. I inhaled the fresh dew, like some sort of fat, sad gamer who drinks Mountain Dew because it's gross. Let me have some beer. I kept my eyes locked on the trembling silver trees.
I'm always weirded out by people that drink soda. I think I've mentioned this on a recent episode, but as an adult, your acceptable drinks are caffeinated drinks, water, and booze. That's it. soda, yummy water for kids now. Gross.
I stepped around a pile of rusted nails and bolts, jumped over a low stack of rotted shingles, shingles that had been pulled off the house. Halfway up the lawn, I could see what else was left on the house. Wooden doors stacked in a high pile, broken glass over the ground, window frames leaning against a wall of rotting boards, cracked shingles everywhere, a white sink on its side against a tree.
I guess they have everything, including the kitchen sink.
An old washtub resting beside it. What about the basement? I crept closer. My legs suddenly felt heavy. My whole body felt heavy, as if some invisible force were pushing me back, pushing me away. A deep shadow ran along the ground behind the round old oaks. At first glance, I thought I was staring at a pool of water, a small lake. But as I made my way closer, I saw that the deep shadow was a hole, a huge square pit in the ground. The basement. Nothing but a hole now. I'm going to drink it. It's not the end of the chapter. I just feel like my brain is wandering and I need to focus. I stopped at the edge, my body feeling even heavier, heavy with disappointment. I stopped and stared down into the deep hole. The trees shut out most of the moonlight. With a trembling hand, I pulled out my pocket flashlight and clicked it on. Dune's an adult now and doesn't say fleshlight every time it says flashlight. I aimed the narrow beam of yellow Chinaman light into the hole. Empty down there. The light slid over the dirt. On one side, thick tree roots poked into the open square. I ran the light over the pit walls. Tangles of roots spread over the smooth, black dirt. Nothing left. The basement had been completely cleared out. Even the concrete floor had been broken up and carted away. And where was the camera? Where? Had somebody found it? Pulled it out and kept it? Or had it been crushed when the workers smashed the concrete, crushed and destroyed forever? I moved the beam of light back and forth along the far wall, as if I was controlling the light beams in some sort of puzzle-based RPG, where, like, you do it back and forth, and the people can't go in the light, and then there's some sort of complicated puzzle, and then somehow you get one of those little hookshot things, and then Link can do everything. I don't know. I'm not sure what I expected to see. Did I think I'd find the camera hidden in the square hole in the pit? Did I think I'd see it in a corner of the muddy floor? The light swept over dirt and knots and tree roots. Nothing else. I clicked off the flashlight. That's a click sound. And shoved it into my pocket. I turned away from the hole, sidestepping a pile of broken shingles. A strong gust of wind made the old trees groan and creak. I barely noticed the creepy sounds. So why point it out? I'm going to get an F, I thought unhappily. The camera's gone forever, and I'm gonna get an F. My summer is ruined, and the other kids in class will never believe me. They will laugh at me and click cameras at me forever. Clickita, clickita. I let out a long, glum sigh. Angrily, I kicked a broken board out of my path and started down the lawn to my bike. I had taken 4 or 5 steps when a shrill voice yelled, "Caught you! You're not going anywhere!" Oh, shit. Hey, know what I would have called this book? 8 Cheese and Diarrhea'd Again. Oh man, chapter 7. The high voice in the night air startled me. Without thinking, I started to run, then stopped. I spun around, my heart heaving heavy against my chest. I saw a boy about my age. He picked up a board from the ground and held it high, as if ready to swing it. Oh, like a bad guy on Streets of Rage 2. He wore a black sweatshirt over faded jeans, holes in both knees, as was the style in the day. His dark hair was cut very short. He glared at me with dark, tense eyes. "Dad, I caught him!" he shouted. He had a high, shrill voice that made him sound like a little kid, unlike Dune in his sultry voice. "Whoa, what do you mean?" I cried. "Caught me?" God, speaking of shrill voices, hi, Yoda. "Don't move," he ordered me, raising the board higher. He took a step closer, then another. His eyes burned hard into mine. "I wasn't doing shit," I told him. I was just looking." He stepped up to me. I saw his expression change. The anger faded from his eyes. His mouth slid open. "Oh, you're not him," he stammered. "Hi, Yoda. Will you talk for me? Because I'm just holding you, and now it just sounds like I'm talking to myself. If I squeeze you, will you talk?" "No, you just like it." "Okay, I'm going to let you down." Anyway. "Oh, you're not him," he stammered. "Huh? Who?" I cried. "I'm not who." "Hey, I'm sorry," he said, shaking his head. "I thought you were someone else." "Well, I'm not someone else," I replied. "I'm me." What a narcissist. He's just you, you know? Just a generic you, not me. "There's a kid who lives down the block," the boy sexplained, scratching his dark crew cut. "He's been sneaking over here at night and stealing stuff from the yard." His eyes wandered over the cluttered lawn. "What was he stealing? There isn't much left." The boy nodded. He tossed away the board he planned to use as a weapon. It clattered against a pile of boards beside me. "He was taking lumber and stuff? I thought you were him." "Did your family buy the Kaufman house?" I asked. Even though it was such a cool, windy night, my forehead was all sweaty. I reached up and mopped the sweat with the back of my hand. "Yeah, we bought it," he replied, "but Dad said the house was too wrecked to fix up, so he had it torn down. We're going to build a new house." The wind made the trees creak again. I glanced down to the street and saw the back wheel of my bike spinning. "People told us the Kaufman house was haunted," the boy said, "so I'm glad Dad tore it down." He kicked it at a shingle on the ground. "My name is John. What's yours?" Oh my god, I bet he's going to say Greg. "Greg," he totally did. I live down at the bottom of the hill, a few blocks past the school. I gazed to where the house had stood. "My friends and I used to sneak into the old house," I told him. "You know, just for fun, for excitement. I think it was haunted, really." He narrowed his eyes at me, studying me. "What are you doing here?" he demanded. "Why did you come up here tonight?" I decided to tell him the truth. "I was looking for something," I said. "A camera." He scratched his short hair again. Maybe he has lice. He keeps scratching his head. "An old camera?" "Yes!" I cried excitedly. "An old camera. It was hidden down in the basement. Did you see it?" "Yeah," John replied. "The men dug it up when they pulled out the basement." "Oh, wow!" I cried. I couldn't hide my excitement. "And what the fuck? Is this kid a foreman? Why does he know what everyone pulls out of this shit?" "Where is it, John? I mean, what do they do with it? Do you know where it is?" He pointed over my shoulder toward the street. "Probably over there," he said. "I don't think they've emptied it yet." I spun around and saw a big dumpster on the side of the driveway. It was Kim Kardashian. Oh, man, because she got a big butt and dumpster. Ah, fucking doesn't matter. I don't care at all. Anyway. "They threw it in there?" I demanded. I didn't wait for him to answer. I started running full speed through the tall weeds to the street. I stopped in front of the big steel dumpster. I could see all kinds of junk piled over the top. "Is it okay to look for it?" I called back to John. He came walking slowly down toward me, hands shoved in his pockets. "Sure, go ahead. Why do you want a stupid old camera anyway?" I didn't answer him. No time for answering questions. I lifted both hands to the top of the dumpster. It was pretty high. It took me 3 tries to pull myself up and in. A street lamp across the street cast a glow of dim yellow light over the dumpster. My eyes wandered quickly over the trash. All stuff from the basement, I realized. I saw rusted old tools from the workshop, part of an ancient vacuum cleaner. Were there ancient vacuum cleaners, or was it just like from the 50s? It's weird to think Goosebumps was in like the 90s. So like 50s were like almost twice as close, because it's like 20 years after this was written. And I'm 28, and I'm gonna die. Anyway, part of an old vacuum cleaner, the spin cycle from a dryer, old clothes, torn suitcases. Is it here? I asked myself, is the camera in here? I pulled away a broken suitcase and tossed it aside. I grabbed stacks of old magazines and shoved them out of the way. I'm gonna search every inch of this dumpster until I find that motherfucker, I told myself. I pulled away a torn section of garden hose that I could totally use for a beer bong. Then I pawed through an old pile of clothes. Where is it? Where? I dropped onto my hands and knees and dug deeper into the garbage. The stale odor of dust and decay floated up to me, swept over me. I held my breath and kept pawing away. I had to find it. I had to. I didn't stop until I saw two eyes staring up at me. Two eyes, yellow in the pale light, as if they had hepatitis, staring up at me from the trash, staring up at me without blinking. I'm not alone in here, I realized, and then I opened my mouth in a shrill, terrified scream. It's probably just a Raken, huh? I think we'll find out in the next one, right? Raken's like dumpsters, right? Notoriously? Whatever, we'll find out. The eighth chapter. Yeah. The eyes stared up at me without blinking, yellow and cold. A chill tightened the back of my neck. I stared down at them, waiting for them to move, waiting for something to jump up at me. What's wrong? Did you find the camera? John called from the sidewalk. No, I reached my hand down toward the glassy yellow eyes and felt bristly fur. Why would you reach towards them? What are you going to do? Comb the hair of the creepy dude that's in there with you? My heart pounding, I pushed some junk aside, and without thinking, I picked up the staring creature. Really. I felt its body, stiff and hard. Bristly, brown and black fur it is. Ew, a dead raccoon? Why are you touching that? It's gross. Ew, he picked up a dead raccoon. Ugh, that grosses me out so much. Its sour odor reached my nostrils. Ugh, yuck. I let out a groan and heaved the smelly creature out of the dumpster. Hey, Greg, John called up to me. I found a dead raccoon, I told him, holding my nose. It smelled so bad, I stopped when I saw the camera. It had been hidden beneath the raccoon's body. The glow from the street lamp spilled over it. The glass of the camera lens reflected the light like a single shining eye. I grabbed it, pulled it up from the trash. Then I climbed to my feet. Leaning over the dumpster, I held it up to John. I found it, I cried happily. Here it is. I can't believe I found it. John wrinkled his face up at me. Great, he said, without enthusiasm. I strapped the camera around my neck. Then, holding the top of the dumpster, I lowered myself to the ground. My shirt and jeans were covered with dust and sticky-ass grease, but I didn't care. I had the camera in my hands. What's so great about it? John demanded. He squinted down at it, rubbed a hand over the top. Does it work? I didn't want to tell him the story of the camera. Then why'd you tell your class the story? You know, if I knew he wouldn't believe it anyway. There you go. See? You knew that no one would believe it. Your entire report was to do a nonfiction story, and there you go. You knew people wouldn't believe it. You shouldn't have done that in the first place. Done and done. You're a bad student. I didn't want to scare him, and mainly, I wanted to get home with it as fast as I could. Yeah, it works, I replied, dusting off the back with my hand. It takes pretty good pictures, you know, it could use some filters. But why do you want it so much? John asked, studying it as I worked to clean the dust off. Oh, well, I promised to show it to someone in school, I told him. I kind of need it for a project. John scratched his short, dark hair. Maybe I should show the camera to my dad, he said, motioning behind him. He might not want you to take it. But you threw it in the fucking trash, asshole, I cried. I held the camera tightly in both hands, afraid he was going to try to grab it. But we didn't know it works, John replied in his high, shrill voice. Is it valuable? Maybe it's valuable, an antique or something. No way, it's not valuable, I insisted. Please, John, I'd better show it to my dad, John said. He reached for the camera. I pulled it away. I grabbed the camera tighter, heard a click. A white flash of light startled both of us. Oh, no. I let out a cry, realizing I had pushed the shutter and snapped a picture of John. Instead of Say Cheese and Die, they should have called it Murder Camera, starring Dune. Maybe I'll just make that. I can't just steal a Goosebumps plot for a movie, never mind. But it's not the plot. You just start out with the basic plot of I get a camera, then I take a bunch of pictures of jabronis, and they all die. I'm going to bring it to Comic-Con, where there's just piles and piles and piles of people, none of which own deodorant. I'm just going to go click, and then, you know, the ceiling's going to fall down, and I'm going to write Dune Rules on the Rubble. On to the rubble, not Dune Rules on the Rubble. But even if I was on the rubble, I'd still rule. Dune Rules.
Chapter number 9. Just a reminder, I have a Patreon account. If you want to go to patreon.com/Dune and give me money. Because I'm broke and I want to get married and shit and have a cool life. But I'm 28 and I still have the same job I've had for 9 years. And I ain't got no damn money, but I still record Goosebumps.
Hey! Why did you do that? John demanded. It was an accident, I stammered. I pulled the picture from the slot at the bottom of the camera. I didn't mean to, really. John and I both blinked several times, trying to get the flashing lights to fade from our eyes. Is it an instant camera? John demanded. It looks too old to be an instant camera. Yeah, I know, I replied. I held up the photo to watch it develop. Silently, I prayed that the photo wouldn't show anything terrible. It probably will, because that's the whole point of the camera, right? It's evil. Please, please let John be okay in the snapshot, I pleaded. With my free hand, I pulled the little flashlight from my pocket. I beamed it down in the photo as it slowly developed, like a tiny strawberry becoming a delicious, juicy berry. As I stared at the small, square snapshot, I could see John's face come into view. His eyes were closed, his mouth was open, twisted in a strange expression. Before I could really see what was going on, John grabbed the photo away from me. He raised it close to his face and studied it. Hey! What's with this camera? He demanded. I stepped up behind him to see the snapshot. Oh, no! I groaned. The photo came out very clear and bright. It showed John howling in pain, his eyes shut, his mouth open, in a scream. Ah!
I did that thing where you put your hands on both faces, like, or both sides of your face. Kind of like Home Alone or like that famous painting, but, you know, Home Alone's more relevant to me in my world.
His leg was raised. He was holding on to his sneaker with both hands. He was holding on to his sneaker because a huge nail was sticking up from the top. An enormous carpenter's nail, nearly as big as a pencil, shoved through the center of John's foot.
Oh, no. How is he ever going to buy shoes now? No, he's probably going to take it out. That's how I'd do it.
John laughed. He turned to me. What is this? Some kind of joke camera? I swallowed hard. I knew it wasn't a joke. The horrifying photos always came true. How could I keep John from having a nail jammed in his foot? What can I do? I decided to warn him. I had to tell the truth about the camera. This is cool, John exclaimed, studying the photo. It really looks like me. I wonder how it works.
It isn't cool, I stammered.
It's really kind of scary, John. The camera is evil. It has a curse on it. The photos always come true.
He laughed, for sure. Did Clueless just come out before this was made? Let me look. Say Cheese and Die Again came out in June of 96. Clueless, IMDb, came out in 1995. God damn it, R.L. Stein. For sure and all that stuff. You just watched Clueless and you thought that's how kids talked. Well, you're right. That's how we do talk. Oh, wait, I'm not a kid. I don't know what the kids are up to. They're all Snapchatting their junk at each other. In my day, when we wanted to see junk, we had to, you know, ask our buddies very nicely.
I knew he wouldn't believe me. Well, just be careful, okay? I insisted. The photo isn't a joke. He laughed again. A gust of wind sent the tall weeds swaying. Snakes of black clouds slithered over the moon. Darkness swept over us.
Excellent writing, R.L. Stein.
I need to borrow that camera, I told John, just for one day. It's such a cool camera, he said. I don't know. Maybe I should take it home. I'll bring it back tomorrow afternoon, I promised. I just have to take it to school. He twisted his mouth, thinking hard. I'd better ask my dad. He pointed to a wall of lumber in the trees. He's back there with the architect, talking about the new house. No, wait! I cried, but John took off, running up the hill through the swaying weeds. I started after him, but stopped when I heard a shrill bleat. And then... bleat? Is that a word? And then John's horrifying roar of pain soared out over the lawn. It is embarrassing that there's so many words in Goosebumps books that I don't know, right? Like, I should by all means recognize books for 12-year-olds. The words in books for 12-year-olds. Screw you, I'm going to finish this beer. Keep drinking. And I'll just keep recording. Fuck it. Chapter number 10. My breath caught in my chest. I stumbled forward through the weeds and saw John holding his sneaker, his face twisted in pain. That dude just got nailed. Yeah! Even in the dim moonlight, I could see the huge nail pushing up through his foot. John, I shouted, I'll get your dad. I didn't need to find him. Two men, one tall and thin, the other chubby and short. He's probably the henchman. I know the dynamic between different people with different weights. I rushed out from behind the lumber pile. I guess they were the architect and John's dad. John, what's wrong? The chubby one, John's dad, called. John tossed back his head in a scream of pain. He's got a nail in his foot, I shouted, running up to them, pointing frantically. Both men ran past me. Oh, good heavens! John's dad moaned. Oh, good heavens? I don't understand, like, when you become a dad, do you just start saying stupid shit? Or is that just how kids talked when they're your age? Like, am I going to be acceptable when I have a child? Because now it's, you know, I'm getting older. It's getting closer. I think it's something I want to do. And I'm an asshole. I talk like a retard. I say the word retard in 2015. I think things are either rad or awesome or a bummer and gay. Like, that's my entire spectrum of describing things. Oh, God. Anyway, oh, good heavens, John's dad moaned, completely unlike Dune. They grabbed John under the arms. The tall man held John's injured foot above the ground. Into my car, he urged. I have a towel. We can wrap the foot. He's losing a lot of blood. Should we pull out the nail? John's dad asked in a quivering voice. No, too dangerous, the other man replied. Don't pull it out, don't, John pleaded. It hurt too much. We can't even take off the sneaker, John's dad cried. The hospital is that away, the architect said, pointing only a few minutes away. Ow, it hurts, it hurts, John wailed like Bob Marley's backing band. The two men lifted him off the ground. A half-walking, half-running, and half-walking, half-running, they carried him down to a car parked across from the dumpster. I watched from the weeds as they gently lowered John into the back seat. I saw them struggle with a long, white towel. Finally, they had it tightly wrapped around the foot and sneaker. They closed John's car door. Then, they quickly slid into the front. A few seconds later, the car roared off into the darkness. Right, Franklin? I'm happy you're hanging out. Do you like listening to Daddy talk? Of course you do. Everyone does. I stood in the middle of the yard, feeling the swaying weeds brushing against my jeans. I swallowed hard. My mouth suddenly felt as dry as cotton, but not like cotton when it was like wet and in the rain, because that would just be, you know, like a normal mouth. Poor John, I murmured out loud. The camera was as evil as ever. Tonight, it had found another victim. It's all my fault, I thought sadly. It was an accident. I didn't mean to press the shutter, but I pressed it. The two men hadn't even looked at me. They were so upset about John, I don't think they even saw me. I glanced down and realized that I still gripped the camera in my hands. I had a strong urge to heave it to the ground, to stomp on it again and again until I smashed it forever. My eye caught something fluttering in the tall grass. I bent and picked it up. The snapshot. I squinted once again at John, holding his foot, shrieking in pain. I tucked the snapshot into the pocket of my flannel shirt. There's only a couple more lines, but I need water. I'll bring it to Mr. Sauer, I decided. I'll bring in the camera and the photo of John. I'll tell him exactly what happened to John tonight. I won't have to snap a picture in school. I have this picture as proof. So it won't be dangerous. It won't be dangerous at all. I bet it'll be dangerous. That's why I had to repeat that it wouldn't be twice.
Chapter 11.
The next morning, I gulped down my breakfast. Then, he probably had Go-Gurt. That's why I could gulp it. Then, I pulled on my backpack, strapped the camera around my neck, and hurried out the door. I left the house 15 minutes early. I didn't want to run to Sherry, or Michael, or Bird, or Geo, or Caesar, or Satchels of Gold, whose name I won't use because the devil shares it. Or Lax Dude, especially Lax Dude, because he sucks. Dune rules. I stepped out into a warm day. The air smelled fresh and sweet. I saw a row of tulips poking up through the ground along the side of the house. What are you, in Holland? First, flowers of spring. I loped down the driveway, loped again, lopped, whatever, and turned at the sidewalk. The camera felt heavy against my chest. I reached up to adjust the strap and heard a voice calling me, Greg! Hey, Greg! Wait up! Sherry. I spun the camera behind me and tried to hide it under my arm. Too late. She had already spotted it. I'm going to finish this beer, finally. I don't believe you, Sherry cried, running up beside me. You're Unreal Tournament 2000. You pulled that thing from the Kaufman house. She stared at the camera, shaking her head. Well, not exactly, I replied. How come you're so early, Sherry? I was watching out the window for you, she confessed. I wanted to see if you were crazy enough to get that camera. Dude, don't believe the camera myth. If there's a girl that's watching out the window just waiting for you, like she woke up and you're the first thing she was thinking about, go for it, dude. I know you're 12, but she really likes you. I frowned at her. You were spying on me? Why? Because I'm not letting you take that evil thing to school. She stepped in front of me, blocking the way. I snickered. Who made you queen of the world? I sneered like an idiot. It's a free country, you know. Am I being detained? It's the same people that yell that. Anyway, she crossed her arms over the front of her plaid vest. I'm serious, Greg. You can't take it. I won't let you. I faked to the left. I tried to edge past her on the right, but she stayed in front of me. I bumped into her, then backed up a step. I'm serious, she repeated. Take the camera home. Sherry, you're being a real jerk, I muttered. You can't tell me what to do. Dude, if you're going to be in a relationship with Sherry, like I said, you should, because clearly she thinks about you. She can tell you what to do. She has better ideas than you. Women are much better at just normal day-to-day things. You get crazy. I think I'm speaking only about myself right now, but I get cuckoo bananas when I'm alone. Her expression changed. She uncrossed her arms and tugged her black hair back over her shoulders. Don't you remember how dangerous that camera is? Don't you remember all the horrible things it did to us? I gripped the camera in both hands. It suddenly felt very heavy. The metal felt cold against the front of my t-shirt. Don't you remember, Greg? Sherry pleaded like Michael Jackson. Don't you remember, Greg? I disappeared because of that camera. Disappeared into thin air. You don't want that to happen to someone else, do you? Think how terrible you'd feel. I swallowed hard, remembering the night before. The camera had already injured someone. I'm not going to take any pictures, I told her. Really, I'm just going to show it to Mr. Sauer so we'll change my grade. Why will seeing an old camera make him change your grade? Sherry demanded, just like all the listeners are thinking. Because I have a photo to show him too, I declared. I pulled the snapshot of John out of my pocket and flashed it in front of her face. Ah, gross! She cried, shoving the photo away with both hands. That is sick. I know, I agreed, sliding the photo back into my pocket. The poor kid, I took this picture, then, a minute later, it really happened to him. So I'm right, Sherry declared. Her eyes narrowed at the camera in my hands. You just proved my point, didn't you, Greg? I'm right. Clearly the character of Hermione was taken from Sherry.
I think there's a real lawsuit on R.L. Stein's hands right here. I like that I always compare it to Harry Potter, not just because it's in the same age range, but because that's the only book I can reference, because I love Harry Potter and The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and that's it. That's it for books for me. A car rumbled past, filled with kids on their way to school. A small brown dog stuck its head out the window and barked at us. Franklin, will you make a bark sound? Of course not. I glanced at my watch. If we stayed here arguing for another few minutes, Sherry and I would be late to school. We've got to go, I told her. I started walking, taking long strides, but she hurried to block my way. No, Gerg. I can't let you. I can't. I rolled my eyes. Sherry, give me a break. It's too dangerous, she insisted. I know I'm right. I know it will get you into big trouble in Little. I forgot the name of their town. Get out of my way, Sherry. Give me the camera. No way, bitch, I cried. She grabbed for it with both hands and yanked it off my shoulder. I grabbed it back, and the camera flashed in Sherry's face. Aw, oh, goddamn, you shouldn't fuck with the camera, idiots. The dozenth chapter doesn't start with the word Greg. It starts with Sherry blinked. Her hands shot away from the camera. She let out a startled cry. Oh, sorry, I cried, backing away. Sorry, really, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. The camera felt warm in my hands. I reached for the square photo that slid from the slot. Give me that, Sherry demanded. She swiped the snapshot away from me. What have you done to me? It was an accident. You tried to steal it, bitch. Why didn't you just leave me alone? I shouted. You know I didn't mean to snap it. Sherry stared down at the square as it started to develop. What have you done? What have you done? She repeated. Her voice trembled more each time she said it. I saw that her hands were shaking. I told you not to bring out the camera, Sherry cried. I begged you to leave it at home. Yeah, but you also try to manhandle it away, okay? He's just trying to go on vacation with his rad cousins. Sherry, I'm sorry, I apologized. Maybe it won't be so bad. Maybe, she swallowed hard. Maybe I'll disappear again, Greg. Maybe I'll disappear forever. No, I cried, secretly wishing she'd disappear for at least 10 minutes. Goddamn, bitch, bitch, bitch. Don't say that, please. We stared down at the photo. It developed so slowly. First, the yellow darkened over the white square. I began to see Sherry's face. Was she screaming? Was she howling in pain? I couldn't tell. The blue tint filled in over the yellow. I could see Sherry's face outlined in green. You look okay, I told her. I think you're okay. Wait, she said softly. She bit her lower lip. She didn't blink. Her eyes squinted as hard as the red and blue tint spread. The picture darkened to black. I could see Sherry's face clearly now. She wasn't smiling. She didn't look happy, but she wasn't screaming either. Darker. Hey, Sherry cried. It's a negative. Huh? I don't understand. It's not a photo, Sherry replied, holding the square up to me. It's a negative. The photo didn't come out. It's all reversed. I stared at it. She was right. Everything was reversed, as if you pressed Control-I in Photoshop and it made a fucking photo negative. Maybe the camera's broken, I said. I let out a long sigh of relief. You're okay, Sherry. The camera doesn't work. Maybe, she said. She handed me the negative. I slid it into my pocket. When I looked up, she had a strange smile on her face. An evil smile. Oh, fuck. Sherry, what's your problem? I asked. I should have known. I should have guessed what she planned to do. I should have moved faster. She grabbed the camera with both hands, spun it around, pointed at my face, and flashed a picture. She flashed a picture with the murder camera. Hey! I tried to duck away from the lens. Too late. She caught me. Sherry, it's not funny, I cried. It won't hurt you, she replied. The camera is broken. Remember? I pulled the square from the slot in front of the camera. My throat suddenly felt dry, as if I were reading Goosebumps. Is it broken? I wondered. Will this one be a negative too? Or will it show me howling in pain with a nail through my foot? Or something even worse?
As I stared at the small square, my imagination ran wild. I pictured my body stretched out like a rubber band.
Do you ever feel like a rubber band?
Then, yeah. That was the first draft of the song.
I pictured myself tugging at an arrow through my chest. I pictured myself lying mashed under a huge steamroller.
Sherry, how could you do this to me? I groaned, watching the colors darken.
Her eyes flashed. You really scared me, she said. Admit it, Gerg. You're really scared. Maybe you get it.
Now. Maybe now you understand and shit. Maybe you see why I didn't want you to bring the camera to school.
My hand trembled. I gripped the snapshot with both hands. The colors darkened.
It's not a negative, I said.
That's a double neg. Oh, wait, it's not a double negative. Never mind.
Sherry stepped up behind me and stared down at the photo.
Oh, fuck. We both cried at the same time.
Sherry started to laugh.
I don't believe this, I wailed.
All right. Franklin has decided to sit on my lap for the last chapter. Just like the old days, right, Frank? I did some math recently and realized that Franklin is about 9 years old. A little man. Anyway.
Chapter number 13. You don't have to lick my hand while I record.
This is horrible, I shrieked. I recognized my face, but I didn't recognize my body. It's called body dysmorphic disorder. At first, I thought my head was resting on top of a giant balloon. Then I realized the giant balloon was me.
Charlie in the Chocolate Factory much, am I right?
In the photo, I weighed about 400 pounds. No joke, 400 pounds. I could get a TLC show with that kind of weight. I gaped at the photo, studying my face and my even rounder body. I had about 8 chins. My cheeks were puffed way out. The collar of my t-shirt was hidden under one of my flabby chins. I was posting constantly on a Tumblr asking people to accept me and talking about thin privilege. The shirt was stretched tight over my chest. It only came down to my belly, which bulged nearly to the ground.
Like that picture of the guy that people were like, oh, he was bullied into not dancing. But no one knows that story. He just seemed annoying. But he had a weird gut that flopped down to his knees, and he probably should have got that cut off just with a chainsaw. That's all.
I looked like a really gross mountain of pudding.
Well, that's going into my lexicon.
Look at that pudding mountain over there, am I right, you know?
Oh, well. Anyway,
stop laughing, I snapped at Sherry. It isn't funny.
It's very funny, she insisted.
She grabbed the photo, raised it to her face, and started laughing all over again.
You're bigger than Sumo 1 and Sumo 2, she exclaimed.
I grabbed the photo back. I stared at the folds of flab hanging down from my cheeks. My face was so huge and puffy, my eyes looked like tiny pig eyes, and my stomach. My stomach hung down over my fat knees.
Gross.
Are you still going to bring the camera to school? Sherry asked. You haven't changed your mind? I have to show it to Mr. Sauer, I told her. I'm going to show him the camera and the picture of John.
And the picture of you? She asked, grinning.
No way. I shoved it into my jeans pocket. I don't want to see it ever.
Sherry glanced at her watch.
Come on, she said. We'd better hurry. We're late. She started to run down the sidewalk, and I followed her. All the way to school, I kept picturing my photo. I kept picturing my flabby face, my enormous 400-pound body.
Don't worry about it, I told myself. The camera's broken. There's nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. But guess what? I was worried. I'm not worried because there's a drinking break.
The halls were nearly empty when Sherry and I arrived at school. The first bell had already rung. I hid the camera under a bunch of stuff on the floor of my locker.
Franklin, you're such an angel.
I didn't have Mr. Sauer's English class until just before lunch, and I...
Man, I should not keep my phone next to that. I'm throwing it on the floor. I know I do that every time, and then I put it right back.
And I didn't want to take a chance of Brian or Donnie or somebody else grabbing the camera and messing around with it.
Frank, you want to go down? There you go.
I'll take you in a second. I slammed the locker shut and locked it.
That's what they call it, a locker.
Then I waved to Bird and Michael, who were hurrying into their classroom. I wanted to tell them that I had the camera, and I wanted to tell them about John and the nail in his foot, but I decided I'd better keep quiet. Michael and Bird agreed with Sherry. They didn't want me to take the camera out again. They were too afraid of it, and they were probably right. I slid into class just as the final bell rang. I ducked low in my seat, like a cholo, trying not to be noticed. I had a long time to wait until Mr. Sauer's class. Today was the first day ever that I couldn't wait for Sourball's class to begin.
I wonder what the kids would call me if I was a teacher. They'd probably call me Cool and Inspirational Dune, the greatest teacher ever. But I'll never know, because I would never be a teacher, because once again, teachers suck and Dune rules.
Once again, I didn't hear a word my teacher said. In social studies, Mrs. Wackman, who was whack, was rattling on about bauxite production in South America. I wanted to raise my hand and ask her what bauxite is. That makes two of us, right? Right, Greg? Greg and Dune, Rick and Morty. I've always wondered about bauxite. I think it's some kind of South American car, but I'm not sure. Luckily, we live in a world with this stuff. Bauxite. Bauxite is an aluminum ore. It's the world's main source of aluminum. It contains mostly the big, it's aluminum, you know. It's for foil. Make cans. Like this beer can here. Hey, maybe I do care about bauxite. Anyway, her voice faded into the background. My mind was practically racing. It doesn't say that at all. What the fuck is wrong with my mind? My mind was busy practicing my speech to Mr. Sauer. You hear that? That was nothing like what I originally said. Mr. Sauer, I planned to say, you made a terrible mistake yesterday, but I'm not going to hold it against you. I know you will be fair and change the grade of my report as soon as I show you this. Whoa, that's too stiff, I told myself. That doesn't sound like me at all. I'll never be able to get those words out. I tried a different approach. Here's the evil camera, Mr. Sauer, and here's a picture it took of a boy I met. A minute later, the picture came true. You asked me to bring in proof. Well, here it is, motherfucker. That's better, I decided. Straight to the point. Maybe I'll leave out the motherfucker, but I'll see if it seems right at the time. Will he believe me? He'll have to, I thought. Photos don't lie. I think Photoshop had already been invented. And Stalin was already around, to be fair. He'll have to change my grade. I stared at the wall clock over the chalkboard. Why was it moving so slowly? Why? Finally, the bell rang. I jumped up, ran out the door, and dove for my locker. Bird called me from down the hall, but I pretended I didn't hear him. So they have to be in junior high, right? They have lockers. Did I have a locker in junior high? I don't know if I had a locker till high school. I didn't ever use it, though. I just carried around whatever books I needed to. Lockers were stupid. And it was an outside school. You know, a lot of schools are, like, inside because they have, like, weather. But we're in San Diego, so I didn't use it. Ever. I never knew my combination and shit. Fuck that. I pulled the camera from its hiding place and slammed the locker door shut. I tucked it carefully under my arm, protecting it. Not protecting it from B.O., am I right? P.U. I saw Sumo 1 and Sumo 2 across the hall. They were shoving a fifth grader up against a locker, making him bounce like a yo-yo. That's their hobby, making kids bounce. And guess who is one of their favorite bouncers? That's right, me. Oh, I thought they were going to say Mr. T. He's the greatest bouncer of all time. I spun around and hurried the other way. I didn't feel like bouncing today, and I didn't want Brian and Donnie to set their eyes on the camera. I took a long way around to Mr. Sauer's class, jogging the whole way. I held the camera snugly and practiced my speech. A group of kids were walking in front of the classroom, blocking the door. Make way! I cried like an asshole, pushing through them. I wanted to see Mr. Sauer before the bell rang. I stepped into the room, blinked against the bright sunlight streaming through the windows. I turned and ran breathlessly toward Mr. Sauer's desk, but I stopped halfway there. My heart skipped a beat, and I let out a cry of dismay. And so ends part one of Say Cheese and Die Again, motherfucker, on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm Dune. God damn, I did that. I almost once again want to call and make other people record the outro, but that's not the case. You know, I'm Dune. I keep it real. You can reach me where you can reach me. The people that have emailed me recently about buttons, don't worry, I got it. I'll send them out, and I'll send the international ones when I get more financially secure. What else is going on? I guess nothing. I'm just kind of stalling so the music doesn't go over the end part. Anyway, I'm hoping to do more Give Yourself Goosebumps soon, but we'll see. Who knows? You know, I'm just glad I got this up today. It's very productive. I had a great weekend. Anyway, stay spooky, bitches.